Quick note before we get started, I'm actually moving the podcast to every other week at the moment, just until my new studio is built. I'm building a new studio. I'll tell you much more on that coming up. But in the meantime, we're going to every other week until I get this thing built. With that said, let's get it started.
Pull up, Giddy. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolewhite Podcast.
Episode 99 now of the Dolewhite Podcast. My guest today, author of the new book, The Light After Death, My Journey to Heaven and Back, Vincent Tolman. What's good, man?
Not much. Just hanging out, having fun here in Vegas where I live.
So just a little background on you. 20 years ago, you died.
Yes.
Yes. And you were dead, I believe I read, for 30 minutes. I had like around a half an hour.
So at least. They estimate at least about 45 minutes minimum I was dead because I was already... The body was already like cold, like legitimately cold. It was cold to the touch.
And how did you die?
I aspirated. So, aspirating is essentially suffocating on your own vomit. That's what happened to me.
Wow. And then they, from what I read, a rookie paramedic worked on you and wasn't supposed to give you CPR, but did anyway. And
yeah, so it's crazy. And this is kind of the miracle of it is they actually bagged me in a body bag. They had already pronounced me dead. They tried CPR. They tried manual CPR. They tried forcing air into the lungs. They couldn't get anything to happen. So they said, pronounce me DOA. They bagged me and tagged me, put me in the back of the ambulance in a body bag. And after they left the scene, this brand new rookie, literally his first week on the job, he felt this premonition. He felt this message delivered to him that this one wasn't dead. So he broke protocol, which he could have gotten fired first week on the job for doing this. He broke protocol. He unzipped that body bag and started attempting a resuscitation where he actually was force feeding oxygen into the lungs. And then shocking the heart. So, in the shocking of the heart, that's when I started to come back. After the third round of shocks, my heart started back up. After now, at this point, it's at least an hour and a half. So I spent 45 minutes in the body bag and at least 45 minutes dead on the floor in the bathroom too. So at that, and that's most conservative estimates, at least an hour and a half dead by the time the heart started back up.
I wonder how rare that is. I mean, I know it's extremely rare, but I wonder how many stories do we hear like that?
It's not extremely rare with people that are lost at sea and found, or drownings in really cold water, something about the cold temperatures. And now this was in the Mountain West and in the winter, and it was at a Dairy Queen essentially that had just opened its doors for the day. So there was no, heat on over the night. So that bathroom was ice cold in there. Right. So it was almost like dying on a refrigerator floor. So it did get my body temperature down quite quick. Now, it still doesn't explain it because science can't explain how the body was able to come back. In fact, neurology cannot explain how my brain came back because I was brain dead. 100, I was at around less than 5% total electricity going on in the brain. So that's essentially brain dead. And I was that way for 3 days. So for 3 days, I was completely brain dead while I was in this coma. And I was having my whole crazy experience in the real experience. The real existence is there, not here. This is like the virtual reality. This is the video game that we're living in right now. And that's the real existence there. So I spent 3 days in the real existence over there.
And that's what your book is about. And that's what we're going to get to now. I know you can't give us the whole book, obviously, on this episode of the podcast, but what was your experience?
It started out with, I had the traditional, and this is very common when people cross over or they die and then they come back. When you die, you're literally looking at your body. I didn't recognize it as my body, though. The same way that if you're like driving in a car and you look over and you see another car over there and the guy in that car looks kind of like you, you don't think that's me, right?
Right.
That's the way it looked like to me because me was up here watching and I was looking down at this body. And even though it looked kind of like me, I'm like, no, that can't be me because me's up here.
Right.
Right. So, and then plus I'm like, and how am I up here? How am I like, and I just kind of accepted it and was just observing everything that was going on below me. I could feel and hear every thought of everybody in that restaurant, everybody. So in that little Dairy Queen, I could hear literally the thoughts of the manager, the workers, even the cook in the back corner where he was like really busy cooking breakfast for a bunch of people and cooking a bunch of foods. I could hear even his thoughts. Like I could hear everyone's thoughts in the whole restaurant. It was very weird. And then I started to realize once you're on that side of things, you realize that that's how real communication is. Mm. It's constant broadcast, the same way radio antennas are. You know, it's just back and forth, instantaneous. You don't have to use a mouth. Using our mouth is just for the video game that we live in here.
And so moving on beyond that, we often hear people talk about seeing a light when they have experiences. Did you see a light and did you walk towards the light? Where did we go from there?
So I didn't actually begin my crossover until I realized I was dead. Okay. So I didn't realize I was dead until they actually had resuscitated the body and they were transferring the body from the ambulance into the ER at an ICU. As they were transferring it over to the hospital bed, they were literally like cutting body bag pieces off of me and cutting like the clothing off so they could start working on the body. And as they did, though, the body was going through crazy seizures and convulsions and vomiting more. And it was just really gross, all sorts of stuff going on. Well, since the body was moving so much, they had to strap it down. They strapped the legs down, they strapped the right arm down. But when they went to strap the left arm down, I felt somebody where I was strapping my left arm. And that freaked me out because until that point, I was completely observing everything. This was not an interactive experience other than the fact I could hear everyone's thoughts. I was still remote from it, you know, like separate from it.
Right.
But when I felt someone strapping my arm, I looked down to see where my arm was. And I was looking at the arm of the dead body. And that I had this like crazy fear moment where out of nowhere, I started seeing all the bad things I ever did in my life, literally. And not just from my perspective of me doing it to someone else. I was seeing it from the other person's eyes as well. So, and it was very, very quick. I saw all these potential negative things I'd ever done in my life from the earliest age, from even being a little child, all the way up to my adult life. I was 25 years old when this happened. And I saw all this happening. And then out of nowhere, I started flash forwarding all the good things I did. And I started seeing it from my perspective, but also the perspective of those I served or helped or cared for or loved. And that was really awesome because it started to pull me out of this dark energy that I was feeling. Mm. And that's when I realized that all this good energy and all the memory of good things that ever happened, it was actually coming from behind me, like directionally, it was coming from behind me. So I actually turned my countenance away from the body, away from everything that was going on in the hospital. I turned away from all of that to see where this warmth and this like good energy that was coming from behind me. I turn around and I swear to you, I see this guy that looks just like what Hollywood say God looks like. Like he's this white male with long white hair, long white beard. So of course, the first thing I think is, oh, are you God? And he just laughed. He like was laughing. He's like, no, I'm not God. And I'm like, well, you don't look like it, but does that mean you're Jesus? And he was still laughing. He's like, no, son, I'm not Jesus. He said, my name's Drake and I'm here to be your guide. And I'm here to help you go wherever you want to go. And it was weird. I could feel that he truly loved me like the way a father would love his son. I felt it like a good father, not even like an okay father, like a really good father, right? I could just feel this extreme unconditional love coming from him. And so I just felt completely safe. I felt full of this light and this love that he was sending to me. And I absolutely said, I don't want to go where the body is. I want to go wherever you came from. Like wherever you, whatever that energy is coming from you, that's where I want to go. And he explained to me, well, I came from your home. So we can take you back to your original home if you want to. And I said, well, that's definitely what I want to do. Let's go to my home, your home, wherever this place is, let's go there. So we began our journey and it was a bit of a journey. We had to, you know, I was surrounded by light, but at the same time, I was allowed to let my consciousness go wherever it wanted to go, like at a playground. Like, you know, when you're a little kid, you get on the playground, you just want to go try all of the equipment. Mm-hmm. That's what it was like. I felt like I just wanted to go understand everything. And anything that my mind could conceive, I could understand. And so I began this journey, and he helped me understand that this journey was going to be more than just moving from one point of distance to another, but I was going to actually have to raise my love energy to be able to get to this heaven space, my eternal home where I came from. And we live at such a low love energy here on earth. I have to really raise it. Otherwise, I can't get in. Like, it's not possible to get in. And it's not that there's a gate that prevents you. It's just you can't get in. You can't synchronize with that energy. So you can't get in there like energetically. So I began that process. He helped me through it. He essentially was working me through these 10 principles that, now he didn't line them out. I got to teach you 10 principles. He didn't do that. But what he did do, he's like, well, first foremost is I have to get you to be authentic. And I'm like, I'm authentic. And he's like, no, you're not. And he's like, you know, in a loving way. And the whole time, this is very loving how he did this. He's like, let me show you how you have so many different personalities. And I'm like, I'm not schizophrenic. I don't have these problems. But he said, he helped me understand that when we're little kids, we come into this world until we're about 5 years old, we're really authentic. And then on the last five to 10 years of our life, we're also extremely authentic. But somewhere in between, all those years in between, we start allowing all these protective faces to grow in front of our face. So that if we're out with our boys, you know, we have a certain personality for the boys. We're out with the, you know, our sisters or, you know, whatever, our moms, our families.
We're different people.
Yeah, we're different people. We are different people. And the reason we do that is we think that somehow being ourself is too vulnerable. So being authentic is too vulnerable. So we grow this fake personality around who we are. And we only show that personality when we're with those people. And it's like a survival mechanism so that we don't get poked fun or we don't get, you know, singled out. That's the last thing we want, is to be singled out.
Right.
So we tend to start building up these fake personas of who we are. And he showed me, it's like having a facet on a diamond. As humans, we put all these facets on ourselves. And truly, underneath all those facets is a sphere, a core energy. And he said he wanted to help me peel all that away and figure out who was inside all of those aspects of who I was. And that was very interesting to me. I had to peel away all those aspects of my personality and realize that, yeah, there was a common thread inside all of that. And yes, it was allowing myself to be vulnerable to admit that, but that was, I couldn't grow until I allowed the vulnerability. So the whole process of going to heaven, the number one thing I had to learn was authenticity first, because if I couldn't be authentic, I couldn't start to grow. I couldn't start to build on my own love energy, right? And that's something that's pretty profound for us in this world, inside the video game of life, that we can't really grow here either until we have those vulnerable moments, until we are authentic around our boys, you know, our friends, our family, at work, wherever we are.
And that's hard.
We're going to grow the most. It is hard.
It's something I work on in therapy is, and especially like, I think it's this way for everybody, but I think as a man, it's easier for me to understand the less authentic moments as a man. I wrote an Instagram post a couple weeks ago about, my wife has told me in the past that she doesn't feel safe with me sometimes. And I think as a man, we're built to be like, well, that means if another man comes along, I have to beat his ass or something like that. But that's not what it means. It means me being authentic. So she knows, me being my true self. So she understands that nothing is going to come out of left field. And that could be about anything, like, you know,
and where she can count on you, where she can't count on, like,
exactly.
And being honest about it, like having integrity with, don't count on that with me, you know, like, but you can count on this with me. Like that is very freeing for us, because in authentic, you know, having authenticity takes us so much further, not just like mentally and psychologically, but in our relationships, we can actually start getting this bonding to happen that will never happen until you're authentic, until you're truly vulnerable.
Right. Admitting shortcomings is hard. It's hard for a man to admit that sometimes, like, I'm having a few cash flow issues. It's not, you know, it's not big deal, but right now, maybe we eat in tonight. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to admit that as men, but to be authentic, we have to, because I think too many times we just take those burdens on ourselves and don't let anybody know about it. And in those instances, it's hard for people to feel safe with us.
And it's kind of like trying to build a house. Before you build a house, you have to clear the land. And sometimes in clearing that land, you realize there's some potholes, there's some gaps in the land. And we as men, we go over with cardboard and be like, there's nothing there. We put a cardboard, we put like a tough guy smile or a thumbs up or like a head nod right there. And we're like, we're good. And then later, when the house starts collapsing, everyone's like, how come that, you know, this is like the third marriage for this guy? What's going on? And it's because we're in that inability to be authentic, that unstableness in who we are ends up showing up in the relationships, work relationships, personal relationships. Yeah. It does. But what's really cool, though, is you clear that land, you say, oh, I do have some potholes. I have some gaps. So you build around it with reinforcement, knowing that it's there and keeping it authentic all the way through. And sometimes a tree will grow up there and becomes more beautiful. You know, your what used to be your weakness now becomes your beauty and your strength as you grow. Yeah.
I love that. How were you religiously before and after? I'm not a big guy on religion. I think my wife and I are more of a spirituality household. So yeah. Where were you before? How did this change you, if at all?
So it changed me completely. What's weird though, is so I grew up evangelical Christian. Okay. And I kind of left the church for a few years. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't official or anything. I just stopped going to church. Right. I was too busy. I was working in TV and film and stuff. And it you know, I had to work Sundays quite a lot of times. So I wasn't going to church. And as that was happening, my heart never left God, never did. I always still had this connection with God where I talk to God, pray, that kind of thing. Not more in the traditional sense, but more of a connected sense, like meditation and such. Mm-hmm. And that was how it was before this happened. But I was 25 years old. I was living the ego male life of right. trying to build a career and build a life and a house and that kind of stuff for myself. And I was living very much in the world. Then after the experience, I'm still Christian, still living that path, but definitely a much more open version of that. Mm-hmm. Not the closed down, shut everybody out, more like the encircle and open up and invite anybody in. I was kind of raised thinking that this life here was so that we could come here and be judged by our works, and that literally we were going to go before a judge and be judged either worthy or not. And if we weren't, we'd go to hell. And if we were worthy, we'd go up to heaven, just hang out on a cloud forever. And that was kind of in my brain. I don't know. That wasn't necessarily the doctrinal, but that's kind of the cultural way of thinking how this yeah. is all working, right? And when I got up there, I felt like I should have just been let right in heaven. I really did. I'm like, I understand Christianity. I've gone through all, I've been, you know, baptized, accepted the Savior, all of this. And Drake just kind of smiled at me and said, "That's beautiful. I love that you've done that. But but there's a lot more we have to understand. And the first thing we have to understand is life is not a courtroom. Life is just a school. It's a classroom. We come here so that we can learn. That's it. And what's cool about a classroom built by a loving teacher is there literally is no failing, because failing means either the teacher gives up or the student gives up. And in this classroom, there's no failing. Now, can we fail here? Yes. But from God's perspective, as long as we're learning, even our failures are lessons for us.
Did you learn or have a knowing or anything about, was reincarnation, other lives, past lives, future lives, any of that? Did you see anything in there while you're out?
So this is something that I was to understand after the experience. So I did see that that life in itself and God as a creator is far bigger than our brains can understand, far bigger than any religion could ever teach you what God is. You cannot comprehend while you're living inside this human body. You cannot comprehend what God is. You can't. It's impossible, because God is so much bigger. And to even call God male or female is like walking up to a piece of coal and saying, is this a Ferrari or a Lamborghini? It right. could eventually become that, right? But God is so much further ahead of us on the scale of growth and life and creation, that we're the pieces of coal and God is the Lamborghini or Ferrari. I mean, that's kind of a bad analogy, but I'm telling you, like, God is so much bigger than us sitting there calling God male or female.
Right.
Or, you know, God looks like a man. Here's the thing. Since God created everything, we can get to know God by loving and respecting everything that God created. And that's where you find God. That's where you find the heart of God, is inside of all of this. All of this stuff that we see around us that's created by God, when we love and respect it, we actually start to get to know who God is. But we can't get to know God by going in a single building and worshiping a single image or idol or perception of God. That's not possible, because that's like, again, taking one element of what a Ferrari or a Lamborghini is and saying that's what God is. God's so much bigger than that. So much bigger than that.
See, I love that explanation, because I think if anybody asked me my religious affiliation, I would probably most likely say I'm more agnostic than anything, which is me saying, look, I don't know how this stuff works. I've never died before. I don't know what happens after I die. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay personally saying, I don't know, but I do believe that we are. And I've a lot of this stuff are things that I've learned from my wife, God bless her soul, things about being out in nature and how I, and taking note of how I feel if it's a nice sunny day outside and I go out and I get 5-10 minutes in that sun instead of staying in a studio and a radio in an office all day. I do feel better doing those things. I feel better when I move my body more. I feel better when I eat whole natural foods. I feel better. Yeah. When I do those things. So I do believe in that connection to nature, connection to the universe, connection to a higher power of those things that they created. I believe in that way more than I can believe follow these rules on this tablet or you go to hell. Like it's much easier for me personally to say, I don't know, but I get this connection here.
People constantly look for answers outside themselves, but that's the lie. That's the lie that the devil teaches everyone, is all your answers are going to be outside of you. So you have to go to someone else to find your answers. But the lie is that the real answers we can get within. All answers we ever need in this life, we can get within. But we can't get it within when we're distracted and constantly entertained and constantly consuming media or social media or streaming entertainment. We can't get answers that way because that's looking outside ourselves. So in the calm, quiet moments of reflection, that's where we're actually able to connect to the Creator, to God. And that's where we can get answers to all the mysteries of the universe. Mm-hmm. Literally, you go to any of these geniuses who have fundamentally changed the world, somebody like Nikola Tesla or Leonardo da Vinci. They spent countless hours by themselves with nothing around them, just nature. Or like Leonardo da Vinci, he used to just stare in a bowl of oil. That's it, for hours and hours. And it would, that calm, it's called scrying. That calm reflection that he would do would inspire him for his next invention or artwork. Or discovery of flight, you know, everything that he was doing, he was essentially connecting to God inside of himself. Instead of looking for all the answers that the world wants to teach you, Leonardo da Vinci was finding the answers inside, right? Same thing with Nikola Tesla. And people don't understand, Tesla's not just an electric car company. The actual name should be like one of the most famous names of the world, because we wouldn't have our modern radio electronics, TV, cell phone. We wouldn't have AC, you know, AC/DC, alternating current for electricity. We wouldn't have any of that without him. And he was able to be inspired on all of that. So he was getting all of these answers from within, not from without. He wasn't going and asking Westinghouse or any of these other people around him. He would go within and discover. And that's the beauty. We can find answers within that are far greater. But here's the lie. What do we spend hours doing every day? Spend hours on our phone, right? All of our answers are within. And that's the amazing thing is I learned to listen to my inner voice. And I learned a principle in my journey of going to heaven. I was taught this principle called the hour of power. And if you really honor your hour of power, you are able to make sure that you're getting the answers you're supposed to get in your life. And what the hour of power is, it's the 30 minutes before you go to bed and the 30 minutes right when you wake up. And whatever you put in this space, that essentially is what you're worshiping. But we get to choose. We get to choose what goes in that space. And yeah, sure, we can check stocks and we can check the game. We can, you know, we can check scores. We can check news and that kind of thing. But what we want to do is make sure we're not doing it in our hour of power. And what we do in with our hour of power is seek out God. Everybody's going to seek out God differently. So you choose what your hour of power is, but make sure you honor it. For some people, hour of power is going to be going on a walk or connecting to nature or meditating, sitting out in nature, meditating, or sitting in a chair, just contemplating life, connecting to the God with the inner divine, right? It's really important for us to understand that if we can honor our hour of power, then we are now in control of our life. We're framing what our life is.
Agreed. Vinny Thoma, the book is The Light After Death. Thank you so much for doing this. I could sit here and talk to you all day.
Absolutely, brother.
I appreciate it. And you write another book, you'll be right back on. So
awesome.
We'll wait for it.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Vinny Thoma. Make sure you check out his book, Light After Death. Super interesting story. With that said,
My time is up. We're done here. My next guest is going to be Jerome Moore. He'll be on in 2 weeks, like I said, from today. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Follow me, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, everything at DoleWhite101, DoleWhite101. Also, no matter what platform you're listening on, make sure you write, review, and subscribe. Definitely appreciate that. Brand new episode coming up in 2 weeks. Thank you.